Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, they making noise. Start up.
Episode 145. This is the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. How are you?
He's scary. I'm Brody.
Yeah, that's how that works.
In case this is your first episode.
I'm drunk.
You're a little bit off.
I'm a little tipsy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed that you're tipsy.
It's the middle of the afternoon on a Friday.
Yeah.
And my friends are like, hey, Scary, a bunch of us are going for lunch. And I'm like, oh, nice. And then they're like, oh, it's raining, so why don't we just get some Italian heroes? Brody, you can appreciate this. I said, yeah, all right, we'll go to my friend's apartment. So the three of us went to my buddy's apartment. We ordered nonstop salamis and supersadas and eggplant and shrimp parm. It was just so good, Brody. But my buddy likes to accompany everything with wine. So I've had 3 glasses of wine, scotch on the rocks, and an espresso with Sambuca. I love Sambuca. I'll talk about Sambuca later with Anthony Rodilla, too.
Yeah, okay. So now that you mentioned Anthony Rodilla.
Anthony Rodilla's on the show today. Yeah.
Yeah, Anthony Rodilla. If you don't know who Anthony Rodilla is, you will soon. He is a bubbling up comic.
Yeah.
Who grew up listening to our morning show in the New York area. Mm. And he blew up on YouTube. And now he's playing big arenas and venues and casinos and... he's hilarious.
He does an impression of his what he calls his character Uncle Vinny and Lucia. I forgot the name of it already.
It's hard to explain.
And Lucia.
He's a first generation Italian American.
Right.
His parents are off the boat. His aunts and uncles are off the boat, meaning they just got here when they were adults. And
he tells stories
about them. Yeah. He uses them in his act.
He gets he gets viral videos off of Snapchat filters by making their faces. He does the voices with the faces all contorted and stuff. But
you can pause this in this podcast.
Yeah.
Right before we go to him.
Yeah.
Go to Rodilla Comedy. Right. It's RODIA. It's like radio, but the letters are switched around.
Go to Rodilla Comedy.
Go on YouTube. Watch any one of his videos.
Check it out. And the thing about him is, even though he's not from Brooklyn, he's kind of part of the tribe. Because he acts like us. He might as well be from Brooklyn. If you're not familiar with the geography.
He's a half hour, 45 minutes north of Manhattan.
Yes. But it's still the same idea, right?
Yeah, it's like being from Jersey. You drive
in. Right. So we're going to talk to him and also go on our first Zoom video for the Brooklyn Boys.
Right.
With
obviously,
him.
The way you're listening to this podcast is not a Zoom video.
No, we are audio only at this point. But after we take our little commercial break, we're going to come back and everything from there on out will be on video. So it'll be a video companion, we call it. You know right. what that means? That means you don't watch the video in lieu of listening to this. It means you listen to this, and we get the credit, and you watch the video
by
on
the
top
way,
of that.
To tell you how drunk Skiri is, we made up before we started recording that we would just play the interview. And at the end, after it aired, we would say, if you want to see the full interview,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Because there's more to the video than we played in the audio.
Yes.
Now, check out the video.
Yeah. The video has bonus footage.
Right. But what Skiri just did was he basically said, turn off the audio.
I didn't say that. Heard me say it. You said, listen to this through. And when you get to the part of
but
him.
You know how people are. You know, I don't blame them. You're like, oh, you can get video now. You can leave. You might as well tell people to go listen to Caller Daddy again. Like, that's what you do. You drive people away. Also,
why can't people listen to Caller Daddy and us?
Because.
Why, Brody?
Because if they
don't
have
be
an
selfish.
Hour to, if they have an hour to give, I would prefer to listen to us. Not everyone has 2 hours.
Oh,
okay, look.
God.
You owe me an apology.
You owe
our listeners an apology.
I owe you shit.
You owe apologies.
Nothing. What do I owe you an apology for?
Because
we were supposed to record this yesterday, and you fuck me. I want
to
do this on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, and even on Thursdays, and we can't do it.
We made up to do the interview on Thursday, right? Then his manager contacts us and says he really wants to do video, and we're like, all right, no problem. And by the way, we're not doing any Brooklyn Boys podcast episodes on Zoom. It's already established.
Yeah, but just like the way we established, we'd never do our podcast from home. How's that working out?
I've broken the rule twice. That's it. I have no more rules to break. So we did the interview yesterday, and Skiri's like, I'm tired. I'm done. We can't do anymore.
No.
So we're like, all right, we'll do the interview. We'll do the interview Friday. I said, all right. So I said, Skiri, how about 1:30, 2 o'clock? No, earlier. I said, how about 12:30? He says, 12. I said, all right, Skiri, we'll do 12 o'clock on Friday, no problem. At about 10:45 on Thursday, I'm sorry, 10:45 on Friday, he says, yeah, can't do 12. Let's do 3. Now, I figured maybe he's got a client meeting, his family's coming in, you know, over, whatever.
Yeah.
No, he cancels the Brooklyn Boys to go out eating and drinking with his boys.
It was just lunch.
Just lunch, yeah.
It was a sensible lunch. Hey, listen, right. it was either Brody or eggplant parm. What would you choose?
I would choose the slices because they're more important to me than a sandwich that can wait. That's just me. So then I text you and I go, how about 3:30? Right? You're like, okay. So at 3:30, I say, I'll be home. I'll be back set up in my, ready to go in like 5 minutes. 5 minutes go by. I'm like, hey, you haven't sent me the link to connect our audio. No response. I call his cell phone. No response.
Most of the time, now you know how it feels when you keep me waiting all the time.
I call your house. No response. Okay. So he at 3:50, he tells me, yeah, give me a couple minutes. At 4 o'clock now, 4 hours after our noon appointment, he's like, oh, I'm ready to go. Oh, I had a couple of drinks. So wake it up, brother.
Oh, no, I'm awake. Don't you worry.
Oh, speaking of liquor, if I might, I want to send a shout out.
Liquor? I didn't even know her.
I want to send a shout out to Theme Night Wines. No relation to M. Night Shyamalan. Theme Night Wines. They have bottles of wine that they create to go with certain nights. Like there's a pizza night flavor. It's a white wine that goes well with pizza. There's a movie night, right? There's different nights that pair with what you might be doing on those nights, okay? Anyway, they were a client. They aren't any longer, to my knowledge. Oh, about 6-8 months ago. They gave us wine. It was delicious. I had it with pizza. It was great. I think it was in February before the pandemic because I remember you eating it on Valentine's Day weekend because I had a heart-shaped pizza, if that rings a bell with everybody back in that.
Heart-shaped pizza?
Yeah, heart-shaped pizza. Yeah, that's what pizza
places. Isn't that what your wife used to do for you on Valentine's Day in the bedroom?
A heart-shaped pizza?
Give you a little heart-shaped pizza?
If you had said maybe isn't that a Nirvana song, I would have been like, okay. Or album, I would have been like, okay, I get it. Heart-shaped box, heart-shaped pizza, I get it.
It's a pie stretch. Reference.
Wow. Now you're making a nasty sexual innuendo about my wife.
Yeah.
And you're minimizing.
Well, she doesn't listen to this podcast. What the hell is she?
Private parts as pie. That's tacky. That's tacky.
So wait, on the subject of wines, can we talk about wines for a second?
Okay, so theme night wines.
Yeah, because I got something about wine.
Out of the blue on Wednesday, I get an alert that says UPS will be delivering a package to your house between like 10 and 1 on Wednesday. Mm. It doesn't show up. Okay, no alert from UPS, nothing. Then I get an alert on Thursday. You have a package that will be arriving today between whatever time and whatever time.
Yeah.
Nothing shows up.
Yep.
I track the package. It says it's at the distribution center.
Not happening.
About 10 minutes from my house.
Nope.
Right? Doesn't show up on Thursday. Yep. Today I get an alert. Your package is arriving today between 9:45 and 11:30.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Okay.
This happened to me with my scooter. Go ahead.
I don't know if you do know where it's going. So the box arrives today, and I see the label. I'm like, oh, Theme Night Wines. They must have sent me a bottle of wine. I love these guys. So nice. I lift up the box off my porch, and it's like there's nothing in it. It feels like maybe they mailed tissue paper. It's that light.
Wow.
The box feels like it's empty. So I open it up, and it's got like bubble stuff and brown paper.
Did you rummage through it?
Hold on. I didn't rummage through it yet. There's a note from them. Hey, they called me Dave, by the way, and I have to correct them on that. But it said, hey, Dave, was thinking of you guys, love your show. Just wanted to say thank you and give you a little something, you know, for the fall season.
Nice.
Well, that's nice. So I wonder what it is. So I reach in and I see the top of a bottle of wine,
mm-hmm.
and I pull it out and it's wrapped in paper.
Right.
And it doesn't weigh very much. So I'm like, oh, they must have sent me a little mini bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So I take it out. And it's just the top of the wine. The rest of the wine bottle is smashed inside the box. The wine is gone. There's nothing but shards of glass in the box. I'm lucky I didn't cut my hand off.
And the wine's evaporated by this point.
The wine is gone. There's no wine. So in the time from Wednesday, when it was supposed to show up, I don't know if they dropped it on Wednesday. And we're like, oh, we don't want to deliver it. Like, let's just put it over there and we'll figure something out. And they're like, maybe he won't notice and we'll give him, or maybe they're waiting for the box to dry for 2 days.
You're talking about the delivery company. UPS.
UPS. So
it could have been a cruel joke. Maybe they didn't have the wine to give you and they said, let's send this asshole a smashed bottle.
Right. Well, why am I an asshole? They like me a lot. That's not nice. It wasn't like some company I had a problem with and they were sending me condolence wine. These are good guys. We met them. They came up to the station.
Hi, where's my box?
Why don't you ask your girlfriend? Oh, call back.
You're on a roll.
There
is a great wine company, not a sponsor, but if you want to trip out your friends and you want to really have a great conversation piece.
Yes, that's what I want to do. I want to trip out my
friends. It's called 19 Crimes.
Yeah, my wife drinks it.
Does she have the companion app that goes along with it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, she did. She deleted after the
gimmick.
So you
download an app. It's a gimmick. And you open up your camera phone and you point it at the label. So you're looking through the lens of your phone, right? And it's
Did you just say camera phone like it's
the camera phone, you phone. And
just open up your phone.
Please, open up your phone's camera and same shit. And then
app.
And you open up the app and then all of a sudden, the label that you're looking at actually, you know, through the lens starts fucking animating and coming alive. It tells you a story about the criminal that's on the label. Now,
I don't want to say you're drunk, Scary, but you're looking at a carton of milk right now.
No, but true story. So there's a whole series of them, and it's a really, you know, it's a pretty much of a scamboni the way they get you to buy every single label, every single criminal, because you want to run them through the app and you want to hear the story of how they became that way. So they recently came out with a limited edition Snoop Dogg. So Snoop actually is on the label. It's actually a California wine. I mean, go figure.
California wine.
Yep. And then you look through the label and he goes, for shizzle, my nizzle. And he comes alive.
Oh,
the
no,
label comes alive through the... It's literally, he does Snoop-isms when you look through your phone's camera.
Did he really say for shizzle, my nizzle?
Yeah. I think for shizzle, okay, my drizzle or something.
I think he's done with that expression. Do you remember when he was up at the radio station in, I want to say, December?
Yeah.
So he came up and for an interview, I guess, with our hip-hop station, a hip-hop and R&B station, Power 105.1.
Yeah.
And as he was leaving, I happened to be in the hallway by the door and by the reception area.
Yeah.
And everybody swarmed him. So I met him once before. I didn't say, like, hey, remember when you met me? I said, hey, can I grab a picture? So, yeah, he said, sure. And then, so one, I don't remember who it was. It was some guy in sales was like, do you mean, when you say sure, do you mean for shizzle my nizzle? And Snoop looked at him like, you dumb white bastard. Like, that is so 2001
yeah.
or whatever year it was that he used to say that.
Yeah.
So I got the impression he's done with people quoting him. So I doubt he would still say that.
He's certainly not done selling wine because for $11.99, I bought a bottle of this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, at the barbecue later, I'm going to be the hit. I'm gonna open up the app of 19 Crimes.
Did you
blow
their mind?
We blew everybody's mind.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. And we blew, and it was just.
You blew what?
I blew a 2.0.
Is that what his name is?
No. No, no. So anyway, 19 Crimes. Check it out. It's, you know, again, we're not getting
not
paid
a
for
sponsor.
This. They should be a fucking
they
sponsor at this
be.
Point because we're selling their goddamn wine for, you know, we're not getting shit out of it.
That's
but anyway,
right.
but it's
19
a cool
crimes.
It's a
the
cool
wine that will blow your friend's mind.
But yeah, but anyway, yeah. Go take a look. The label will come alive
okay,
through
get
the
it,
app.
Man, we get it. It's
do you get
it's
it?
All
do you really
it's
get
all
it?
Technology. It's
listen,
not like-
my buddy Ryan was at lunch with us today, and he was so. Pissed. He had one of those Larry David moments, and maybe
what's
you've
that like?
Been. I don't know what is that like. No, it was one of those like fuck me. So a buddy of his was talking to him and saying, "Oh yeah, man. Tomorrow, Saturday, I can't go play golf. I got to move a bunch of shit from one house to the next and doing this." And my buddy Ryan, just being a nice guy, was like, "Oh well, if you need any help, you know, let me know." And then his buddy turns right back around and goes, well, actually, as a matter of fact, I do.
Dude, never
meet
offer.
Meet me at noon.
Never
here's the
offer.
Address. So my buddy got roped. My buddy, all he was doing that lip service thing that you would tell your friend, like, oh, yeah, you know, you want to pretend like you want to help, but you really don't. So he fucking stuck his neck out, and now he's stuck going to show up at noon tomorrow helping this dude move from one place to the next because he opened his big fucking mouth. I said, why did you do that?
Yeah, never volunteer. Also, not only never volunteer other people.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody volunteered us today on text messaging on the big show. So we were talking about, now you sponsored the Elvis Duran Free Money phone tap. This
yes.
week, right.
Right.
We have no money. We have no sponsors right now.
For
the pandemic
tab, yeah.
has hit a lot of companies hard.
Yeah.
And so companies don't have the budget to sponsor because usually we give away $1,000.
Right. So I said, oh, I'm going to reach into my pocket. I'm going to give $25 a day. I'll chip in $125 for the week, 5 days. Boom. And so I paid, I quote sponsored this week's free
right. that
money.
Right. That was nice of you.
Thank
that
you.
That was nice of
yeah.
you. Yeah. And then Nate on our show was like, I'm going to pay $26 a day next week.
Right.
Right. Which is $131.
Right.
Right, if I do my math.
20, yes.
Good with the math.
You're good.
Go with the math. So somebody texts in and says, the Brooklyn Boys should sponsor it for even more money. It's actually
$130, but okay. I may be drunk, but I'm smart at math still.
All right. Yeah. You're right. No. You're right. You're right.
Yep, continue.
It was $26. Right, okay. what did I say, 135?
You said 131. It's 130.
I don't know where the one came from. Okay. That would make no sense.
It would make no.
So I apologize. Normally I'm great at math, and I haven't been drinking. Although I have to say, I'm exhausted. Last night was. We're not going to get into it, but last night was a major news story. Major news story. Thursday night. You probably know what it is. About COVID-19 and the president. So I was fascinated by it, and I was up, scary. No lie. 3 o'clock in the morning.
I slept like a baby
because the story broke. At like 12:40, 12:45.
Right.
So I had watched Seth Meyers. I got an alert on my phone. And I switched to the news. And I was obsessed. I couldn't go to bed. I had to see everything. I'd learn everything, know everything. And so I got, I want to say, 2.5 hours of sleep.
Right.
Maybe. So I apologize for being off the one.
That's okay.
Now that I think
but
about
as you,
it.
But you're in the middle of the sentence.
I feel a little. What's
I
that?
Was correcting your math. And you're in the middle of something. About...
Yeah, right. So they volunteered us to sponsor the phone tap.
Right. Somebody
for even
came,
more money.
Wait, did somebody volunteer you? Oh, us.
No, us.
Oh, the Brooklyn
right, the
Boys.
The Brooklyn Boys should sponsor the phone tap the following week for even more money.
Oh, that's terrible.
Words, Nate topped you. Yeah. And now they're saying we should sponsor.
Oh, so I should go back in again. You're going to go back. Someone else is going into my pocket for me. Hey, thanks.
Right. So I love the idea that you're a slice, whoever you are. And I love that you want us to get the recognition, right? I get that. But, you know, I don't necessarily have the disposable income to kick up the money. So if Scary and I go half on it, then it'll be $13 a day, right? Right?
Yes.
Okay, each. It would be $65 each. So,
yeah.
But for $65 each now, do we get like a full, hey, sponsored by the Brooklyn Boys, check out their podcast at iHeartRadio? Like, do we get a tagline?
We get a tagline.
Because like, most sponsors, like when Home Depot sponsors the phone tap, it's not just, hey, it's the Home Depot free money phone tap. After the phone tap, it's like, you want $1,000. Remember, Home Depot, with all your Christmas shopping needs,
right.
Home Depot, HomeDepot.com. Like, there's always, like, a tag.
So would we get a sponsorship tag for the Brooklyn Boys? Yeah. Right. Well, you know what? We can investigate that. Then it may be worth that while. I'll go into my pocket again.
Copy? But, like, you gave $125 out of your own pocket.
For nothing.
But you got nothing.
I had nothing out of it.
You should have said, I'm sponsoring it as the co-host of the Brooklyn Boys podcast.
Yeah, but at the time, I just didn't know any better. I just threw it out there.
You never know any. This is, by the way, this is another lost opportunity.
Oh.
Another, we've talked about this. I don't even know if it was on the podcast or not, but every time Elvis throws you a meatball,
right?
Which, by the way, I'm sure you eat, you never take him up on it. You're like, oh, Brody and I had a fight over the last episode, whatever. But you don't say,
by the way,
episode 138 of the Brooklyn Boys, which was one of our best episodes.
Yeah. Speaking of meatballs, Uncle Johnny on the Big Show, you know, he jams raisins and pinoli nuts into his meatballs. In your meatball recipe, I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, listen, Sicilian meatballs traditionally have pinoles and nuts and raisins. My family, we like to do three parts. It's the Holy Trinity. We do pork, veal, and beef, equal right. parts with
of
an
course,
egg and breadcrumbs and things
that's
like that.
It.
What
that's
do you
it.
Put egg in your meatballs, Brody? Same
just
thing?
Just that. They do the Trinity. Although I have to say, if
you, don't like
if you
the veal.
Do like all beef chopped meat, like because that's like you're just doing meatballs.
An all beef meatball?
All beef meatball, like, you know, chopped meat. Use chopped meat.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, a little, I could do a little oregano.
Olive oil, a little bit. A
little grated cheese.
Yeah.
And some breadcrumb.
Yeah.
Roll that baby up.
Yeah.
Put a nice sauce on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm good with that. But as far as the raisins and the pinoli nuts.
Yeah.
I can maybe go for the pinoli nut. Maybe. I'm not a fan of raisins in my meatballs. Unless it's a Swedish meatball, then it's like a sweet thing. I could go with the raisins. But I like raisins in some food, like a good noodle pudding. If you're a Jew, you know what I'm talking about.
A kugel.
A noodle pudding. A kugel. K-U-G-E-L.
See, I like cherries in my kugel.
Do you?
Maraschino cherries in my kugel.
All right. But my wife, on the other hand, hates raisins, doesn't think they belong in any food.
Yeah.
Any food that would normally have a raisin, like oatmeal raisin cookies, she won't eat them.
Yeah.
She hates raisins in things. And because she's the mom, all my kids feel the same way.
So Uncle Johnny today on the Big Show was talking about throwing raisins and pinoli nuts in his meatballs.
Well, that's
and,
what he does.
Well, it's a Sicilian. He called it a Sicilian meatball, and I Googled it, and I'm like, wow, he's right. But I'm Sicilian, and I've never done that. So
by the way,
whatever.
That was your nickname in high school, wasn't it?
What, Sicilian meatball?
Yeah. Hey, look at that. Here comes that Sicilian meatball.
Hey, so you were talking about meatballs.
I was?
We dive.
No, we were talking about sponsoring the podcast.
Yes. All right. So,
you segue. You are drunk as a...
How are we talking about meatballs? Where did we get on the meatball topic?
Because we were talking about the show and sponsoring the podcast and getting a tagline. And I don't know. Why don't you rewind the podcast? You should listen to it. It's funny.
I should skip 30 backwards.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, speaking of nothing, Uncle Johnny was on the show talking about meatballs.
Right. Yeah. Well,
so that's why. You want? I got a scamboni.
Oh, yeah, scamboni.
Can I throw a scamboni? Since you're talking about like Italian things.
Sure.
Scamboni.
Scamboni. Yeah, we know.
What's your scamboni?
Here's a quick scamboni.
Scambrody.
I got a couple. Can I do a couple? Can we do a little scamboni segment?
Sure.
All right, you got any scambonis for us? I got a couple.
Well, why don't you go for it first? Because I wasn't prepared, you dick.
Oh, you wouldn't be prepared anyway. You're drunk.
I'm not drunk. I'm even better when I'm wasted.
Right. I'll tell you what. Do you have scambonis? I'll do one now. We can do more later.
I have what was your scamboni right now? You were the one who called for it, so I called for it. We got it right here. Wiki.
I needed an inexpensive pair of earbuds.
Right.
Wired earbuds.
Right.
right? With a button for phone calls, like a mic, mic and a button.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not looking for Beats. I'm not looking for Bose. I just want a cheap pair of headphones I can wear to if I go to the gym. I got to do physical therapy right now on my shoulder because I hurt my shoulder. And so I need a new pair of headphones just to pop in my ears, wired up, no big deal. So I get a pair off Amazon. I want to say they were $8.99. They had a 4.8 review. The reviews look legitimate, right? And I get them. They sound really good. They do. I'm very happy with my $8.99 pair of headphones. Very happy with them. Just what I wanted, okay? In the box with the headphones is, you hear this?
Yep.
It's a little professionally printed, double-sided. It says Amazon gift card, right? Mm-hmm. It's folded into fourths, and it's brown with the Amazon logo on it. It says, claim your $5 Amazon gift card now. So you're like, wow, what? Amazon's giving me a $5 gift card. This is great. This
right.
is fantastic.
Yeah.
I open it up and it says, as a small business, the reviews we get are incredibly important. If you find out that you like our product, I don't know if they mean if you find out you like our product. Shouldn't it be if you find you like our product? Hey, guess what I found out today, Scary? I like their product. Who knew? If you find out that you like our product and service, please be sure to give us a 5-star review and forward us the confirmation email from Amazon along with your order number. Here's their email, right? It says, we will be sure to send you a $5 Amazon e-gift card within a 24-hour period.
Nice.
So here's the scamboni. They're paying me $5 for a 5-star review for $9 headphones.
Oh, my God.
Did you not realize that? So that's, I bought these headphones.
Right.
Wow, they had a 4.8 positive review, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, wait a minute. Did all those people get $5 to lie about the review?
That's a lot. No. They're telling you without telling you. They're not telling you directly to give them a 5-star review.
I realized I would figure that out. I think they were like, oh, well, bonus. I can give them a positive review, get $5. You know there's people who don't like the headphones or like, well, I was going to give them 3 stars, but for $5, F it, I'll give them a 5-star review.
Well, how is it worded again, though? I mean, there was no tip-off?
No, that's I already had my bris.
Hi-yo.
I'll look that up if you're not Jewish. Okay, it was, you're like, oh my God, he's brilliant. But like a week from now when you Google it. Okay, so it says, as a small business, you really should listen to this podcast.
No, I'm listening. As a small business,
as a small business, the reviews are incredibly important. If you find out that you like our product and service, please be sure to give us a 5-star review, which is, okay, that's great. Of course, you want people to give you 5-star
review. So they are telling you to give, they're encouraging you.
At that point, they're saying, if you like us, hey, give us a 5-star review. But then it continues, and forward us a confirmation email from Amazon along with your order number.
Fucked up,
our
man.
Email address
fucked
is blah,
fucked
blah,
up.
Blah.
No, fucked up. That's wrong. By the way, how are they allowed to get away with that?
And then there's a screenshot of how to submit a product review. But what I'm saying is, for every $9 pair of headphones,
yeah,
they're giving me a $5 credit.
Right.
How much did they pay for that credit? Did they pay $5? Or does Amazon give them $5 credits for $2.50?
That's so that.
Right? So Amazon discounts them the credit.
Yep.
Thereby rewarding me. I enjoy Amazon more. I'm more likely to buy something with a 4.5-star rating. Therefore, Amazon gets their cut. Everybody wins, except I'm buying headphones that maybe aren't as good as the review says. Fuck you, Amazon. Fuck you, headphone guy.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's
this is
wrong.
A major scamboni.
Huge. Huge scamboni.
But on the other hand, I want the $5.
Right.
You would give the 5-star review, right?
Right.
But I might be fucking the next guy.
No, that is an indirect way of paying pay for play with the review.
What if I like the headphones and I do the review because I'm like, oh, I like the headphones, no problem. But then a month from now, they die because they're shit.
Right.
I can't take back my 5-star review, can I?
No, you
can't. Can I review another? You know what I could do?
Could you delete it?
I could check. You know, don't tweet me, by the way. I'll figure it out, but that's beside the point. What if I buy another pair? Leave a bad review, and then return the second pair because Amazon takes everything back. Like, there's a way around it. You can absolutely leave a bad review. So if I can't delete the first one, which I probably can, I'll just leave a second one to even them out. So,
yeah.
But imagine that's a scamboni.
That is a huge scamboni. I don't have any other.
But there's no date on here. So I think I should wait make sure the headphones don't die. And if they do die, I'll return them for a credit.
You know,
right after I get my $5.
You brought up the word headphones. It triggered me into mentioning this news story I saw yesterday. On Long Island, on Long Island, there was, this is not a Scamboni, unless somebody's trying to Scamboni the system. There was a report on NBC, the local NBC affiliate, about, I guess, a Long Island harvest, like one of those ask no questions where you drive up and they drop a box of food in your trunk, and they were giving away food to people who needed it, because there's a lot of people out there that can't make ends meet, and, you know, they're in dire straits. So they... you know, these people, they showed the volunteers, the veterans that are getting together and all the food and how they packed it all up and then they drop it in people's trunks. So then they cut to interviewing people that were picking up the food. All of a sudden you see a huge fucking Mercedes roll by and they open up the trunk and they're dropping food in there. I'm like, whoa. Now, I'm not saying that you can't drive a Mercedes and be hungry at the same time. But like this Mercedes was rolling through and they're giving them free food. I'm like, really? And then they do a close-up shot of a woman with the window rolled down the car. And they're like, so what do you think about this? And she's like, yeah, I just want to say that I think that everyone here is doing a great deed. You know, these are some really, really tough times for a lot of us out here. And meanwhile, she's talking into the camera and you see a fucking Apple AirPod coming out of her left ear. I'm like, oh, she's got enough money for AirPods. Meanwhile, she's taking advantage of the free grub, bub. I don't know. Is that a Scamboni? I mean, listen.
Well, do you want me to play devil's advocate? Or do you want me to go for the joke?
Go for the joke and then punish me.
What I could say is I go, oh my God, these people, it's, you know,
I scratch my head. I'm like, why does a Mercedes and why does this woman here with an AirPod?
See, I don't want to be Debbie Downer and ruin it for you, but let's just say the woman was successful, bought some nice things in life.
Yeah.
Maybe didn't save a lot of money.
Right.
Maybe had high medical bills. Maybe her husband died. And now she's out of work for 6 months.
Right.
Her income is gone. Her disposable, her bank, is, you know, she's living off that.
Right.
And she's not at the point yet where she wants to sell her earbuds and her car.
Yes.
And she's like, you know what? I can use some food. I'm going to get some food.
Right. Okay. Truth. But here's where I really have the problem with it. The people who edited that piece together, the actual Channel 4 people, the producer and the director of that piece.
Okay.
They probably should not. They know that those people exist, right? The ones that you just mentioned. And I agree with you. Okay? All kidding aside. But they probably shouldn't have showcased that on television so thousands of people could point that out. Like, why don't you focus on people that maybe look like, look part, and fit the narrative of who you're trying to help out. That's
all. Let me ask you this. I'll continue to play. Listen, you know I was going on my way to law school at one point. You know I like debating.
I'm just saying, because you know what?
I know what you're saying.
Because perception is reality. Because you know there are people sitting at home screaming at the TV, like, I can't afford those fucking AirPods, but yet this girl is in her car and grabbing free food, and she's got AirPods, and this one's driving a Mercedes. That's what I'm saying. It's like the people that hit the lottery. They're saying only poor people should hit the lottery, not rich people. Right.
Well, what about other people who had money to buy nice things and are ashamed to go get food because... that's not who they've always been. They've always been successful.
Right.
And maybe seeing this woman makes them feel like gives them the courage to go get a handout when they normally wouldn't get a handout because times are tough and there's a pandemic.
Okay.
How about that?
Right. And then, but this is also like the time that I saw, I saw. No, I was observing a woman in a store paying for her food and her goods with food stamps. Mm-hmm. And she had a fucking iPhone 11. Again, is it the same thing or what? Like, what's, you know, I mean.
What if her boss bought her the phone?
You're right. Okay, bro. You're a joke killer, man. You're being a dick today.
No, I'm not being a dick because half of our audience feels the way I do. I'm saying you never know.
No, I know. I know. But okay. All right. Listen. It's an observation. It's an observation.
Listen,
I'm just saying it's a bad look.
I drive.
Maybe hide the iPhone 11 and the Christian Louboutins while you're walking out with goods that you paid for with food stamps. That's all. Just why don't you just show it? That's all.
100%. Look, we all know there's scammers in the world. Right.
Right.
We all. So it's
okay. I get angry at people that take advantage of the system. I really do. Like people that really just. Thank you.
Hey.
Who are you whispering?
I'm whispering to one of my kids who's doing something. Hey, can you empty that? Because I really need that. All right. Come back later.
Okay. Anyway.
Bye.
But you get what I'm talking about.
I do get what you're talking. Look, there are definitely scam people.
Right.
Who definitely take advantage of the system.
My hope 100%. Is that the people that I saw on TV and the woman with the iPhone 11 in the store
genuinely needed
it and are falling in that category.
I'm not saying there aren't people that scam, and if they are scammers, right. they should be better at hiding their affluence or their, whatever. So I get that.
Like people who are well off that steal Diet Grape sodas from refrigerators at Chinese restaurants and say,
stealing.
We good, and
I
take advantage of small business owners.
She said, yeah, we're good. She gave me the look like we're good. Listen, my friend lives on a block in New Jersey. And it's, he doesn't live there anymore. He moved about 2 years ago. But he lived on a block that his house was nice on the block. But there was a couple of houses at the end of the block that were a little run down. Right? There's always that the house on the block. And this house was an eyesore. It needed to get painted. It had like one missing shutter, one hanging by like one hinge.
Right. Right.
It looked like a horror house.
So they could afford to live there. They couldn't afford to do the the restoration or the upgrade.
But,
okay.
But they had three BMWs.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So you go, do they put all their money in the cars because that's status for them? Because maybe in their job, they're salespeople and they need a nice car to go to work.
Right.
Because it's static. Like,
right.
You never know.
Need nice clothes because you have to be presentable at work.
But my friend was like, hey, sell one of the frigging cars and paint the house. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So speaking of Scambonis, I have another Scamboni.
I don't have any. I don't have no Scambonis today.
Yeah. Okay. So Family Feud is rigged. Tic-Tac-Toe is rigged. Now, if you don't remember Tic-Tac-Toe,
that show from the 80s?
Right. It was so is Joker's Wild. These were old shows. They're on Game Show Network now. So Tic-Tac-Toe,
there was a dragon.
What's the X's and O's game? Tic-Tac-Toe.
Tic-Tac-Toe,
right.
But it was called Tic-Tac-Toe.
Tic-Tac-Toe, like money, D-O-O-U-G-H. And you would pick
Wink
one of the
Martin.
Boxes.
Wink Martindale was the
right.
host.
You would pick your bonus round. You'd have the 9 boxes on the board. They were all little TV screens.
Yeah.
Square televisions, back in the old days when TVs were square, right? And you would have to pick a box, like 1 through 9, mm-hmm. and if the dragon wasn't hiding behind that box, right, you'd get $100. Like, $100 would come up on the screen.
Right.
Do you want to keep going? Yeah. Give me box 4. And you'd randomly pick numbers.
Yeah.
And each box would have a random amount of money.
And the tension would build because you know at some point you're going to see that fucking dragon.
Right, so you might quit before you got the box with the dragon. But here's the thing. It was digital. It was TV sets. They could make the dragon come up whatever they wanted. So these people are like trying to guess where the dragon is. They're like, give me 1. Give me 6 on the side. So it's not next, because they wouldn't want to do 1 and 2, because 1 and 2 are next to each other. Right? There's no, the odds of it being any, it's all 9-to-1 odds. But they could, if they want you to win, they just don't show the dragon. Right? It's computerized.
Yeah.
So Family Feud with Steve Harvey, and I'm sure now if I go back and look at old episodes, the old episodes were guilty of this also. You know the final round, the speed round, when you do...
Fast money.
They give you 5 questions.
Yeah.
Right?
Love that.
Sometimes the question is, name an animal you'd find at the zoo. Well, there's probably 1,000... Now, maybe you say lion, but you could have said monkey or elephant or tiger.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good answers. And sometimes they ask you questions that only have 2 good answers.
Yeah, but the catch there is you have to always keep in mind 100 people were surveyed, which means...
No. I'm telling you, the questions... Yeah, obviously there's stragglers, but this is what they'll do. Name a day of the week other than the weekend you'd like to have off. right?
Right. So the number one answer would be Friday or Monday. Right.
Right.
So
the, and I'm using that as, I know people would like off Wednesday, but the point was, you know,
So if you say Friday, I'm sure that's going to be like 62. You know, Monday you may get 31.
Right.
And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it'll be like 6 points, 8 points,
right.
3 points.
Right. So
right.
I'm watching Family Feud with my mom 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this couple, very lovable, very fun. All of the answers were, they only were one or two options. It was like, name a cola, Coke. So the other person comes out and they go, name a cola, Coke, Pepsi. Right? I'm exaggerating. The point was, if they want you to win, they're going to give you questions with limited responses.
Right.
Right? They're not going to say, name an amount of time it's okay before your man falls asleep after sex. Well, is it 6 minutes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 9 minutes? It's too many choices.
There's a lot of choices there.
Right. Name a meat you have on Thanksgiving.
Right.
Turkey. Bing. Then the next person comes out and says chicken. Like, there's not a lot of, ham, whatever.
Right.
There's not a lot of, so I watched it, and four of the five questions were only one or two possible answers. So the first woman got like 165 because there was not a lot of choices. And the other woman came out and she nailed it after like two questions. So my point is, I think they rig it. And the average person doesn't pick up on that because they're like, oh, wow, these people are good.
Yeah.
No, they want people to win every once in a while because they want to show people winning.
Okay, fair enough. Hey,
and
listen.
Then there's another game called America Says. Have you ever heard of it?
That one I have not.
Okay, it's sort of like crossword puzzles. And so what they do is they'll say, name something you'd find in your medicine cabinet. Or name something you find in your shower, okay? And they'll show like an S with a dash, and it's long enough that you guess it's probably shampoo, right?
Yeah.
Another S might be there. It's shorter. Maybe it's sponge. Okay. So they give you the first letter, and then based on the length of the dash, you can maybe narrow down to what your guess is. So if they like name a type of nut and it starts with a P and is a very short line, you're not going to say pistachio. You might say peanut or pecan, right? That's how the game is played. And you have to get all of the
That, right. So how's this a Scamboni?
Okay. So this obnoxious family gets to the bonus round and you see P, D, D, and E, right? P, D, D, and E for the money. And it says, name something you see on a coin. Scary, give me a long word with the letter P you might see on a coin.
President?
Right, presidents, right. Give me a short word with the letter D you might see on a coin.
Dime? Like on a coin? You mean a picture on the picture of the coin?
Something on the coin, written, printed, anything. What's on there? What's on a typical coin?
Wait, say it again. A short word with the letter D.
Something you might see on a coin.
Something I might see on a coin?
Yeah.
A dent.
No. It was date.
Date. A date. Okay.
You see the date on the coin. It was
all right,
made.
All right.
Then it says E. All right. A medium length word with the letter E. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. It's eagles. You see eagles on coins?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And the fourth letter was D, another D, short word for D, a short D, right? A little D.
That's what you have, a short D.
Your mother didn't say that. All right. So the fourth one, I'm sitting there with my mother because she and I like to like yell out the words, like try to guess.
Yeah.
And we're trying to figure out. Like, we can't figure out what
short D?
Yeah, right? What other word starts with a D, you often see on a
coin. We already said date. All right.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
The word was dirt.
Well, I said dent.
Okay. My point is,
my mind went there.
Right.
Oh, you're thinking of physical things that are inside the picture, like pictures.
Right. Like a monument or a famous building.
Yeah, but you can't look at, you can't be too literal.
My point is, almost every question in this game is literal. But then they give them dirt. When you think of a coin, Would you ever think, wow, when I look at coins, I sometimes see dirt? You don't see dirt. You might see oxidation, right? The coin changed color, but you wouldn't say dirt. Coins laying around in dirt? Will you walk around and pick up coins out of dirt? No, some coins you say, oh, don't pick, that's dirty. But you wouldn't say I see dirt. My point is, they didn't want these people to win.
Of course not. That's my point. So it's rigged and not in their favor.
Right. Sometimes I think they deliberately put a question in where the audience can go, well, that's tough, but I guess I see it. Oh, they didn't get it. But if you stop to analyze, you go, fucking crooks. Yeah. They didn't want these people to win. That's my point. So fuck you, Family Feud. Fuck you, America Says.
Don't forget, we're still selling merch. We have a merch store.
Yes, and thank you to Justin Bannister at Team Bannister. So got my shirt in the mail today and love it. I am up to episode 53. Justin, you got a lot to catch up.
Yes, you do.
But you look good in the shirt, I have to say.
So go to brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. That's brooklynboys.bigcartel.
No, I'm the That's Guy.
Oh, shit.
Fuck
that up.
That's brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. We have shirts. We have tank tops for the ladies. And we've got masks. You still need a mask. I think we've learned again this week the importance of it. Get a Brooklyn Boys mask. Support the podcast. Save a life. Save yourself. Protect yourself. There you go. All right, Anthony. Skeery Jones.
We got to get to Anthony Rodia.
I know there was something from last week I teased for this week.
All right, we could always do it next week. Or we're going to have a long interview with this guy. I mean, he's giving us his time, and then he's got to go play golf. So bear with us. He's a funny man. I think you're going to enjoy him as much as we have already on the big show. We had him here second on the Brooklyn Boys podcast. And hopefully we can convince him to come back when he's larger than life. He's already pretty big. He's going to come up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Wow, this is like the first time we're being visual, Brody. We are now going on Brooklyn Boys video, otherwise known as Zoom.
This may be the last time, but you know what? Anthony is worth it. I'm willing to do anything for Anthony. So,
yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast right
now, who Anthony is.
Yeah. First of all, if you're listening to this podcast right now, this segment is going to be on video as well. So that's a little surprise. The video companion.
Right. And at the end of all this, we'll tell you where to see it.
Exactly. And right now we're going to bring in our guest, which I'm kind of excited about, Brody.
You're kind of excited. I'm very excited.
Well, I've been excited. Well, okay. Hold on a second. You did a little bait and switch on me because remember when I said way back when we shouldn't have a certain guest on? Who was that guest that we finally had on?
Oh, Michael Rappaport.
Michael Rappaport. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we shouldn't have him. And then I came around and I'm like, I made a mistake. We should have had him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The shoe's on the other foot because a long time ago, long before he made his appearance on the Elvis Duran Morning Show, Anthony Rodia, who we're about to meet, I suggested we bring him on our show. And you didn't say no, but you kind of dragged your feet a little bit on it.
I don't think I dragged my feet. I definitely didn't say no.
Okay.
I think he's hilarious.
He's a great guy.
He's very funny. But what I love even the most about him is his visuals. And I was concerned back in the time when we were in studio, we didn't have a way to have visuals. But now that we have the pandemic and we have Zoom, we have a visual medium that we're using all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's better if we see him.
Right.
So.
And by the way, Brody, I got to tell you, you've come a long way. Because there was a time in one of the previous episodes of this podcast that you said, oh, I don't think we should ever do stuff from home. And here still, we are only doing things from home. Because you said it would sound like
choice, though.
You said it would sound like shit. And then you went on record and said, we will never do a video version of our podcast.
Well, this is not a video version of our podcast. This is a video version of our interview of Anthony.
Right.
And I didn't have this microphone when I said we wouldn't work from home.
Sure.
I didn't have this boom arm to hold the microphone.
Right.
And I didn't have, a pandemic family.
Right.
So this is what we have to do. But when we're back in studio, Scare, we're doing our podcast.
We sure are.
From the studio.
Now, we have Anthony in the room. I think he's just joining us now. Hopefully he's got it. Apparently he's got some
superstar. His name is there.
He's got some superstar equipment. Anthony, are you in our Zoom room?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We can hear you. You're like the voice of God right now.
We don't see him. So we're back to doing the podcast with no visuals. That's fine.
Are you naked?
Ooh. I don't have any pants on.
Okay. Oh. That's fine. Just don't have a Yankee hat on. I can't have that in the room here.
I'm not taking off my hat then, Brody.
Take off the hat, man.
So are we going to see you today or not?
Yeah, I think so. Why?
Oh,
you not
okay.
seeing me?
I don't see it at all now. You decided not to share your video with us. There he is.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. What are you doing? We got two fucking Met fans over here, and this guy's wearing a Yankee hat.
Oh, I know you guys are Mets fans. That's why I took out the fitted. It's got dust on it. I haven't worn it in a while.
That's it. I'm wearing my Mets mask.
If you don't follow sports, the Yankees swept the Indians last night in a ninth inning rally, which was the longest ninth inning in Major League Baseball history, to advance to the American League Divisional Series. But, Anthony, let's face it. They're doing it the cheap way. Two out of three. You have to take two out of three. What happened to three out of five?
And it's a short season. I think it was 13 game season.
So does it really count?
12.6.
What's that?
12.6 games.
Yeah.
But I mean, but then again, you can look at it from a Met standpoint.
Oh, we can't. Moving on.
You guys still couldn't make the playoffs.
Hey, thanks for coming, Anthony. It's been a pleasure having you. A lot of success in your career. Gotta go.
Never point that out.
Wow. Well, congratulations to your Yankees.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hell of we don't know when people are going to watch this, but the game, as of the taping of this, that game last night was unbelievable.
Unreal. It was a good game.
They came out of nowhere.
Down 4-0. They came back, took the lead. Then they blew the lead in the eighth.
They rallied past the Indians.
So the crazy thing with me is, and this has been how it's always been for me when I watch the Yankees in the playoffs. If I'm not watching it in front of my television, they score. So they made a pitching change. It was bases loaded. I went to go drop a deuce. And as I'm sitting there, I got the alert.
You could say take a shit. We curse on this podcast.
No, we could. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, no, dude. God. This is free reign, man.
So I went to go drop a monster shit. And
this isn't the Brooklyn Boys. This is in Brooklyn, Massachusetts. This isn't Brookline. This is Brooklyn. This isn't Brooklyn, Iowa. This is Brooklyn. So we can say whatever the fuck we want.
Good. I was getting like the anxiety sweats down my back.
Yeah, this ain't Westchester.
But wow, he shouted out Westchester. This is going to get bad.
Yeah. Anthony hails from New Rochelle. We say New Rochelle, but he's from New Rochelle, which is, I don't know why they say it that way, in Westchester.
New Rochelle.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, I don't know why they say it that way, Scary. You say prosciutto. You say Dalamon.
Well, I'm sure he's gonna roast me for that kind of shit in a second.
No, I mean, you know, this is your show. I gotta leave you alone.
No, it's all good, man. You can do whatever you want.
You're here to not leave him alone.
Right.
You leave me alone.
So pick on him. So we have our Brooklyn Boys slices, and they want to know, anytime we have a guest on, why the fuck, what's this fucking person doing here? So, but even though you're not from Brooklyn, you are from the area, which is just north of Manhattan.
I hung out in Brooklyn a lot. I hung out on, 18th Avenue. I still go there to get bread because apparently,
of course,
you know, our mentality is that's the only place that has decent bread, even though they most likely ship them to every other place that I'm closer to.
It's in the water, right? You know, the water.
It's gotta be the water. But L&B's, I'm a big fan of L&B's.
Spumboni Gardens, we often talk about that on this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I golf. I golf all over the place. Sometimes if I'm in the mood for L&B's and I'm in the mood for golf, I'll golf right by there. It's convenient.
That's awesome.
Most people don't think golf when they think of Brooklyn.
No, because right away they picture you have, they're like, you golf on concrete. I'm like, no, right, I have grass. Right.
No, we'll use golf clubs to club people.
Right. If you don't belong,
might do something else with the 7-iron. But there's golf. I think it's a Diker.
Yeah, Diker.
Diker golf course.
Yeah. We didn't play golf. Like, I don't know who played golf on the Diker Heights golf course because none of us had the money to play golf. But what we did do in the winter was we would steal trays from like the school cafeteria.
Yes.
And we would use it to sled down the hills.
I'm glad you said that's old school, Brody. We used to go to Pelham Country Club in Pelham, New York. And there was these two huge, massive hills. And we would go to all the golf courses and sleigh ride because they had the best.
Yeah,
hills.
But you'd use the trash can covers as the sled.
No, I'm from Westchester. We had sleds.
Excuse us.
Look at him.
Look at this guy.
So I wasn't a deprived child using lunch trays.
So Anthony, again, from the area, we love supporting local and we love supporting people like us. And, you originally made your debut for our audience who may be listening on the Elvis Duran Morning Show. You came on.
Yeah.
And, that was a first time for some of our friends and, listening or seeing you. But obviously you're a YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram celeb.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I used to start everything. You know, when I got back into comedy, I said, all you need is an audience. You have an audience, then you're going to have fans. And if you have fans, you pack out shows. And I literally started from, follower one and just kept grinding it out. And I was waiting for the, my manager goes, I had like one of my good friends, we went to go see Deadpool 2. And I look at him, I'm like, dude, you want to manage me? And he's like, for what? Like, we used to work at the car dealership together. I was a finance manager. He was a sales manager. And I said, I'm going to get back into comedy. And he said, how the hell are you going to do that? I said, I don't know. I'll rent out a theater. I'll pack it out. We'll start. Maybe if I can make $500 extra a month. And as it started growing, he was like, which I always have goals. I put like goals in front of me. Like, I'll write it down. Like, all right, 3 months from now, this is where I want to get to. So he looked at my goal sheet and he goes, a massive walkout? What the hell is that? I go, dude, I want to quit my fucking job in epic form and fashion.
Ooh, okay.
And I did.
How did you do it?
We had a finance meeting with the whole company. There were, two or three dealerships that they had, and I knew I was leaving anyway. It was a toxic environment at that point. I'm a positive person all the time. I'm always, I'm always the one joking around, making people laugh. I can't be in a negative situation. Nobody should. So I knew I was going to quit, but now because I have the comedy to fall back on, we were in a meeting and I just basically put everybody on blast. I was like, listen, you guys are all full of shit. You don't really like your employees. And I fucking quit. And I just got up, walked out. I was like, I was like, oh, that felt good. I get home and my wife's like, what are you doing home at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? I go, I quit. She goes, are you an asshole? I go, it's not really the reaction I wanted. She goes, I'm fucking pregnant. I was like, oh my God. I want to throw up.
That's how you found out?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So I said, hey, can you give me until December to see if this shit works? And I mean, thank
you. You mean like hold the baby until December? Don't
right, can
have
you
it
hold
yet?
It in? She's yeah. like, I'm not taking a shit and having a kid. I but listen, man, thank God it worked out, and I'm happy as hell.
Right.
And
even so how much money were you making? What kind of career did you have at that moment that you quit?
I was the only person working in my house. I was the breadwinner.
Right. No, I'm saying in the comedy world. Like, what exactly were you bringing in?
Because it sounds to me like you went from here to here, but you hated what you did, and now you're loving life.
I had a plan. I said to myself, I'm a big numbers guy. So I said to myself, if I don't have to make more, I mean, I was making good money. If I could make the same that I was making at my full-time job doing comedy,
right,
during for the first quarter, so middle of March is what I was looking at. If I can match my year to date, I quit. The reason why I quit is because I surpassed it by a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I was like, shit, I'm making more in comedy. I'm like, bye. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she hit me with the pregnancy thing. And she was like, so do comedians have insurance? I was like, stop, this is too much. I'm going to fucking throw up all over the place right now.
No, but we have half price nachos at the club.
Right.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that gained you notoriety online was taking Snapchat filters and doing impressions of your aunt and uncle. Right. Yeah.
Now, so
why don't you explain a little bit about that and how?
So that was by accident. I would always find ways to make people laugh, always. And sometimes it would just, you know, you would look at it and go, this guy needs medical attention. And I do. But I was in a weight loss competition with my cousin and a friend of mine. And we started doing these banter videos. We started just breaking each other's balls online. So I went to Snapchat and I see this filter and I just started talking like one of my normal Italian off the boat uncles. I posted it online and people were losing their shit between the face and the eyes and the mouth and the accent. And then I did a road rage video, and then I started doing Road Rage Wednesdays. And then I started looking online on how to edit videos and put videos together. And I made I created his wife.
So these are based on real people, or are they fictional characters?
No, Uncle Vinny is based after mainly my dad, you know, the temperament, the things he used to say. Zia Lucia is kind of, it's like taking six of my aunts and meshing them together into one. You know, you've got the aunt that's always angry, the aunt that's a little senile, but she doesn't want to admit it. You know, the aunt that's going through dementia, but we're all learning to live with it. It's like a mixture of six.
I love that you use the Snapchat filter, you said, right?
Yeah.
You could have been a puppy dog comedian. Mm-hmm. Like, had you used a different Snapchat filter,
yeah,
you could have been anyone. But the one you have, with the big mouth and the eyes, I start laughing before you speak.
Yeah.
And now I start laughing in anticipation of the voice that's going to come out and what you're going to say. You have an unusual, listen, everyone has a crazy family. Everyone has stories.
Right.
But you've made them come to life, right? So I feel like I know your aunt. I feel like I know your uncle. And growing up in Brooklyn, I think Scary and I know a lot of people like that.
Oh yeah. It's amazing now that when I do, so I always wanted to be like, I looked up to like the old school greats, but the one comedian that I absolutely was in love watching was Robin Williams. Because what Robin Williams did, he would be on stage and between his voices and mannerisms and energy, you close your eyes, you literally feel like you're hearing five or six different people on stage. And I wanted to do that. So when you watch my videos, I've done something where I've created fictional characters where people, including myself sometimes, think that Uncle Vinny and Zia Lucia are real. I talk about them like they're real. I'm like, yeah, Uncle Vinny would never go for that. And I'm like, oh my God, I need a day to just chill out. But when I do my live shows, people think I'm going to do the same thing online. I'm going to come out with the characters and reenact situations. And it's nothing like that, because in my mind, I'm like, well, if you're watching me at home for free, why would you pay to come see the same shit on stage? So now I give you another kind of angle of my comedy. It's straight stand-up comedy. It's more of, you know, homegrown stories now. It's like, okay, what stories inspire my videos that I do online? And another thing, which is basically the number one reason, I'm kind of insanely competitive with myself. I try to be funnier than I was yesterday. There are videos I make that I delete. I never post because I just don't think they're good enough.
So people can follow along. Where are most of your videos? Obviously, we're going to give your information again, but Is it at Anthony Rodia Comedy?
Everything is just type in Rodia Comedy. Rodia on Instagram.
R-O-D-I-A for some people that don't know.
Yep. Rodia Comedy on Instagram, Rodia Comedy on YouTube, and Anthony Rodia Comedy on Facebook. But the main purpose of my videos, I thought of a way. I said, well, how can I never get tired of comedy? How can I always push myself? So the videos are a way for me to force myself almost to have to be funnier when you see me in person. Because if not, you'll sit there and go, I laugh, but dude, his videos are epic.
Right, because you don't have those Instagram filters on stage.
No, it's just me. It's to create, like, think of like Seth MacFarlane, you know, Family Guy, he's the creator. Well, he has to be funnier in person because it's his brain. It's his
he can't walk out as Peter on the stage.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that the best compliment that I can get, and I mean, my shows now have gone to a whole nother level. My energy, everything on stage is so much more comfortable. People come up to me and I get the husbands every show. I'll get two or three husbands. They go, hey, my wife listens to you every night at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Tell you the truth, I don't like your characters. They're a little fucking weird. I go, okay. She dragged me to your show and I didn't think you were going to be funny. I go, what did you think? Dude, you're a funny fuck. I go, that right there. To be funnier than, like, that's a guy that didn't even enjoy the videos.
Right.
That fine. And then the people that are diehard, you know, Uncle Vinny and Zoe Lucia fans, they say, listen, I thought you were funny online. I didn't think you possibly could be funnier in person. And I'm pleasantly surprised. Now, that's the best compliment.
Any jealous husbands that you ever encounter? Because, like, you know, their wife is more in love with you than them at this point.
Well, when I do, like, the meet and greets, I do meet and greets after every show.
Boy.
I want to meet the people that support me. So we had it. I'm not going to mention any names, but we had it last week and I did 5 shows at Stress Factory. And one of the shows, we're sitting there and she gets in the picture and he gets on this side and he goes, don't touch him, social distance. So she goes, no, I want to hug him. He goes, seriously, Marie, you got to fucking touch the guy. And I'm just sitting there in the middle. I'm going, take the fucking picture.
You know, I love the way he used social distancing as an excuse.
Yeah.
There's no pandemic. He still wouldn't want to fucking touch you.
His hand was around me. It didn't even make sense.
Right.
You need to social distance. I got antibodies.
You know, you mentioned Robin Williams. You know, he had to create a world on stage, and then you'd hear it on, like, back in the day on records and CDs of his concerts. You have to deal with two different personas, right? Your online persona and your onstage persona, and then worrying about what people have already seen so you don't do it on stage. And you'll know this, a lot of comedians put up their best stuff, then you go to see them, and they're doing the same stuff that you already saw online.
And that's what I wanted to go, like, I've watched comedians where, you know, there's so many comedians out there that are very successful, but you watch something they did 4 years ago and then you watch something today and it's the same material, word for word, same order. Yeah. You never get that.
Right.
Like, you can come see my show, like, this weekend, perfect example, last weekend. Friday night I did Thursday night I had one show, Friday and Saturday I did 2 shows. Friday night, between Friday and Saturday, something else happened where I'm in the green room with Goomba Johnny, who I perform with, and I start laughing at something, and I took that and I created a 10-minute story that I told on stage Saturday. So that's something you would never hear. On top of that, I have probably, I don't know, 15 hours worth of stand-up material, stories, and just things that I'm always writing. I'm addicted to writing.
Right. You must have done some crazy writing during the pandemic. What, like,
oh my God.
Give us some examples of what's been going on, you know, what funny, you know, funny life moments that you might have encountered.
You don't have kids, right?
No.
Yeah, that's why you just fucking said, that's why Scary said funny. There's nothing funny about it. This shit's got to end.
Can I
by my kids and I'm like, I want to bury this fucking kid in a hole up to their neck, just the head pop out and leave him there as like a lawn ornament for a couple of days because this is not cool.
Well, you did a song parody, Until Death Do We Part.
Yeah.
Please, guys, go look this up. It's basically two characters. The husband is singing about how he can't take the wife anymore in the pandemic. I don't want to give any lyrics away.
Right.
Yeah.
Just the male character is singing. The female's in the back. Like, you could, like, that presence, like, you could see she's always in his, like,
they're always there. They're always there.
My
wife might kill me before I kill her. Like, so today, like Monday, I'm addicted to golf. I'm a golf fanatic. Monday, you know, I golfed. And then I'm golfing today. I didn't tell her until this morning. I acted like I told her already. I knew I didn't tell her. She knows I didn't tell her. She was like, oh, the guy's coming to empty out the pool today. I said, I'm golfing. I'm golfing with the guys. We're going to be playing at Middle Bay. She's like, you didn't tell me that. Didn't I come home the other night? I was like, hey, I'm golfing with Mike. And I knew I didn't fucking tell her. She's going to watch this and she's going to probably bury me just for this. But you got to get out of the fucking house. I'm like, what you want me to do? She's like, well, why can't I learn to play? Because I told you when we got married, there's two things that I like to do by myself that you're never going to fuck up. That's golf and masturbation. That's what I enjoy doing. They both require bowls, and you're just, I mean, you're not going to, you're not doing it. You're not
either way, I'm grabbing my 7-wood, honey.
Yeah. No, exactly. You're not. But
I don't want to assume. Could be a 5-wood. I don't know.
It could be a 9-iron. I mean, you know.
I hit him long. Whoa. I hit him long.
You got to go with wood, Scary. It's a penis joke.
Yeah, I know.
Either way.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Anthony, I got a question for you. I'm looking at your videos 2 days ago when we first decided we were going to do this with you.
Yeah.
Some of your videos have, I don't know, 40,000 views. Some have 180,000 views, right? Scary and I do podcasts every week.
Yeah.
And we assume they're all going to have the same amount of listens.
No.
But some of them have 3 times as many listens as other episodes. Yeah. And we have no idea why. So when you post these, are you often surprised that one gets a lot more than another? Or are you like, why doesn't that one have more? That's a better video. Why isn't it?
Yeah, I dive into everything I do. So when I did this, I started looking at the algorithms of social media and, you know, how things hit certain feeds. And problem with social media is, like, if you post it on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, those sites are controlled by people. I mean, that you know, people are controlling everything that happens.
Can't,
so
you can't really, there's no rhyme or reason
so
to
like,
it.
Like you, I mean, I'm thinking maybe I pissed someone off at Instagram. Right. So now my, but it also has to do with, like, I put a video like Road Rage Wednesday. I did a new one yesterday. There's one that I did about a month ago called Mask Hole.
What's that all about?
So that's basically Uncle Vinny driving around, pointing out everyone that's driving in their cars alone with a mask, walking their dog with nobody around, like with a mask. Now that kind of triggers people and also gets people to go, oh my God, I hate that. When you relate more, people are more inclined to share the video. So like the one I did last night, the numbers are good. It's at like 140,000 views on Facebook. That video is at 5 million.
So could you disclose some of the contents of that? Like what kinds of things were you saying in it?
Yeah. Like he pulls up to you know, a couple that are husband and wife that are driving by themselves in the car with masks on. And he goes, excuse me, let me ask you a question. When you guys go home and make the sex, you put a mask on it too? And then all of a sudden, I make believe the woman rolls down her mask and I go, oh shit, that's why your wife will put a mask on it, because she look more better. Put it back, sweetheart, put it back. He just drives around like shouting people out.
What about
I think he's got 5 million views compared to some of the other ones.
That's the mask hole, right?
Yeah. So basically, if you guys do a podcast and you guys talk about something that sparks someone's attention or relates to a massive amount of people, they're going to share it more. And that's how,
of course. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I like, by the way, that you're first generation American, correct?
Yeah.
Or second generation, first native, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what the hell to label it. My parents are off the boat. That's
right. Exactly. So Scary is like fourth generation Italian.
Yeah. Yeah. Italian by name only.
When you do the Italian accent, it's like, talking like this, right?
Yeah.
When he does, it's like, hey, where's my fucking spaghetti?
Yeah. It's he's got that Brooklyn.
You're actually doing Italian.
Oh, it's flat out immigrant.
Right. And Scary's like, I'm Italian, but he's not. Like his name is also Anthony.
Well, we get into these arguments all the time with people. Like, you'll have people online, oh, if you don't speak Italian, you're not Italian. I'm like, no, dude, it's called, it's in my blood. Like, yes, I'm Italian. So it's just different generations, different ways of speaking. You know, I grew up around immigrants, and then my family only spoke to other immigrants. So it's like, you guys would think, I'm going to, like, if I want to play better golf, I'll golf with someone that golfs better. No, my parents, my especially my dad and my uncles, they were like, I'm going to talk to people that talk like me. That way they understand me and I don't got to explain to myself. But they don't realize you're always going to, their accent fucking got worse.
Right. But there's certain traditions and customs and things. Like, for instance, And I hold on to some of these, even though I'm fifth generation, and you're like, well, fucking, this guy's not Italian.
I'm not placing judgment. That's Brody. Oh, Brody's attacking your generation.
Well,
oh, you noticed that, Anthony.
From the Jew. I got to listen to the Jew. Turmoil. The Jew is telling
turmoil between you guys.
There's already turmoil. Yeah. But like, I got to have my Sambuca with my espresso, but I got to have my Molinari. I don't want Romana. Because to me, Molinari is like the true Italian one, the original. Right?
So that's how you justify that you're really Italian, because you put fucking sugar liqueur in your coffee?
Well, no, those are one of the customs.
His bar is low.
Those are one of the customs that I use. And it's not just that. It's I don't just go get salami at the deli, or I get supersada.
Again, he's Italian.
Anybody hear those fucking crickets? He tried so hard.
I get capicola. Yeah.
I like the way you let it lay. You
look like you practiced all night, and you're like, I'm going to get the supersata.
But
you know you don't pronounce it like that. I've heard you say supersad.
Thank you. I listen to our show.
Of course I listen to your show. He goes supersad.
As soon as he said it, I'm like, that's not how he says it.
I'm trying to be a little bit more professional in front of you, because I know you're going to come down on me.
If that's the case, you have to say sopressata. Sopressata.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. Sopressata. Yeah. But the point is...
That sounded great. You almost sound like you've been imported.
but
Elvis used to joke with him that he was like, you don't speak Italian, you speak Brooklyn Italian.
Yes.
Up until only a couple of years ago, he'd never been to Italy, and he was always, I'm Italian, but I'm sure you at some point have been to Italy.
I've been 15 times, and I've never had a vacation there. I've always gone there to see family.
So you have two videos that I watched recently. I want to get the title right. It's when someone goes to Italy, right? And it's one of your relatives talking to you saying, another relative's going to Italy. Tell him to bring me back this and to bring me back that. And he's going to go and get me this, right?
Yeah.
And although I don't have any family going to Italy, it reminds me because I live in New Jersey now. Every time I go to Brooklyn, my mother gives me a list. Oh, make sure you get me some L&B. I need you to go to Roland Roaster. I need you to pick me up some bread from 18th Avenue. I need you to get. So it's no different. Wherever you are, if you travel back to where you're from or go into some, like you could live in the suburbs, but if you're going into whatever city you live near, someone gives you a shopping list. Oh, you're going? Get me some stuff. You can't just travel on your own. So it's almost to the point where you shouldn't even tell anybody.
No, you shouldn't. I don't. Like my wife is horrible with directions. So we live on Long Island and I'm from Westchester. So I go over the bridge once in a while in Throgs Neck, Whitestone, whatever.
Sure.
She feels like just because I'm on that side of the bridge, no matter where I am, I'm close to Arthur Avenue. So if she's like, hey, where are you playing today? So I said, I'm in Briarcliff.
Yeah.
Briarcliff is nowhere near the Bronx. She goes, are you going to be passing by Arthur Avenue? No, I'll be on the 95.
Right.
Nowhere near Arthur Avenue.
No, but I have to stop because I'm on that side of the bridge. Right. And I got to bring back 80,000 things. Like we're preparing for a tornado and all we want is fatty Italian meat.
Right.
And,
yes, we do.
It's what they all, like my father, anybody that goes to Italy, they get bombarded. And then the word spreads, and then what they do, they call each other, hey, you hit Tony Sicotti, Italy, you better call fast to put your order in. Order? He's not doing catering. He's going on vacation.
Right.
And they call up. You know, bring him back some coffee. And then what they do is the biggest excuse. I'm like, well, they have Lavazza here. They have Kimbo coffee here.
Yeah, but Anthony, when they bring it over here, they Americanize, and it tastes like shit. No, it doesn't.
Nah, that's all in your. It's all in your head.
Yeah, I'm like the custom labels on it.
No, it's not the same.
Okay, all right, no problem. I'll bring back 6 pounds of coffee. That's
I've only been to Italy once. We took a cruise and we went around a couple of different cities, and we were in, I guess, Napoli, right? Where's the Trevi Fountain?
Rome.
It's in Rome, right? We're so in Rome on this.
Wow, Scary said that shit. Yeah. He's like, Rome, loser.
We were in four or five cities. So the night we were in Rome, we went to this little Italian restaurant. Now I assume, you know, if it's a row of restaurants on the street near the fountain, it's probably like Times Square. Yeah. It's not going to be the finest of finest. But anyway, we went to this little Italian restaurant with checkerboard tablecloths and very authentic vibe and wine on the wall.
Oh, there's nothing that says Italian like a checkerboard.
Right. So anyway, we go in and we ordered whatever we ordered. And it, you know, obviously you're not going to order chicken parm. You order the pasta, whatever they have.
Right.
My wife ordered maybe gnocchi or some kind of.
Oh my God. I can't show my father this episode.
I'm sorry. It's gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi, right?
This is so pain. God.
I'm sorry. Gnocchi. How would you pronounce it? It's gnocchi.
Gnocchi.
Right. Gnocchi. Yeah. So.
Oh, you pronounced the G.
I know. That was for your family. Okay. So my wife orders what if I remember correctly, was gnocchi. And she loved it. She said, oh my God, this pasta is melting in my mouth. They must make it here in the back. We got to ask them how they made this pasta. Maybe we can create it. Maybe they sell it. So the waiter comes over after dinner and she says to him, listen, this pasta is unbelievable. Do you sell it in bags? Do you have like dried versions of it? Can we get it? And he, you know, so we're like, this is how often are we going to be in Italy?
Right.
And he goes, you could go get it. Where are you from? She says, well, from America. Oh, it's a Barilla. What? You know, in the Barilla. It's in a box, a Barilla. That was so, you know, you think the atmosphere, it's got to be the greatest thing ever. Well, and
listen, it's all how you cook it, man. The preparation, right, but, yes. Everything. I mean, my mother-in-law, my relative, I mean, they could take dog shit and then somehow cook it where you're like, this is the best Italian food. What is this?
It's dog shit.
Oh, it's delicious. It's how you prepare it.
Their hands. It's their olive oil. It's their sauce. Oh, which, by the way, I'm sure you have family favorites in those categories.
Yes. Yes. 100%. You can't tell anybody else who they are. You have to make it like everyone's the best cook in the world.
Tutta Rosa, Red Pack. What do you got?
Oh, my favorites with sauce? No, we make it. We make it every year homemade.
Well, you just crush tomatoes.
Yeah, crush tomatoes.
By the way, Anthony, I understood what you meant. You have like five or six aunts. You can't tell one of them that they're your favorite.
No, they ask you. Right. Every time you go over the house, they'll come over, they'll like stand over the table, and they go, how's my chicken cotolette? It's good. It's better than the Yolanda.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, way better. Yeah, she don't know how to cook nothing. I'm like, okay. Didn't know there was a war going on.
It's like these Iron Chef competitions going on in the family.
Oh, my God. You might have just given me another video, the Italian Iron Chef. All the aunts compete. Might have to throw you credit for that. Look at him. He's like.
Brody's now thinking of the title.
I'm thinking about putting them on Chopped also. But like, because they're Italian, actually, you know, they chop you.
Yeah, all right.
Get a knife to you.
Chop up your body parts.
That's fine. See, now we're going back to the mafia thing.
Yeah. No, what?
There is no such thing. But if there was.
Elvis says if there was, they'd be very nice people.
Yes, very nice people.
So it's crazy because we have a low budget podcast where we don't have the Zoom room that is unlimited. So I see the timer. You see the timer ticking down there? Like we have a couple of minutes left.
I'm gonna blame the Jewish guy for that.
Whoa!
I'm not spending. See, he's not spending.
Let me just tell you this: if it was up to the Jew, I'd get another 40 minutes free. I'd work that out. But that's how you know,
right?
It wasn't up to me.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We got more with comedian Anthony Rodia right after this.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Brody and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Back with comedian Anthony Rodia. I gotta say, I'm impressed, by the way, during this pandemic or in these unusual times, fill in the blank, extraordinary times, whatever.
Yeah.
You're doing shows.
So yeah.
How does that work? You have audiences or you're doing them virtual?
No, I did a virtual show and just did 5 shows in Connecticut.
Live shows with people?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, no, they usually hold, I think, 340. They got it down to 146 so they can space everybody out. I'm doing Foxwoods. That got moved to December 4th and 5th.
December 4th and 5th at Foxwoods. Okay, going to be down in AC at all? Atlantic City?
Atlantic City, October 16th and 17th at the Atlantic City Comedy Club.
That's coming up very soon.
Yeah.
These are all very nice places.
They're spreading it. Like for instance, Foxwoods, we're going to be in the Grand Theater, holds 4,000 people. They're obviously not going to put 4,000. So you come in with a group of 6 people, let's say, they're going to put you down and then they're going to separate three or four seats next to you.
Hey, I'd be down for that. Is it indoor venues or outdoor?
Indoor.
Indoor venues.
Now, Anthony, you're playing some fairly nice places here. You're kind of name dropping, which is impressive. Mm. But you started out in comedy at one point where you weren't who you are now.
I did restaurants.
So when I used to do comedy and sketch comedy and improv, we would sometimes play restaurants where people were eating and they didn't know it was comedy night.
Right.
And they're looking at you like, what is this guy? I'm trying to eat here.
Yeah. No, with me, man, I tell a lot of these other comedians, I meet a lot of comedians now. I was spoiled. But I took my what I knew about marketing and I marketed myself. You don't always have to market a product. So what I did, my first show, I rented out a theater. That held 450 people in Westchester and White Plains, New York, the White Plains Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And I basically scalped tickets for $20. I hit up everybody I knew, I hit up all my friends, and everyone was like, why are you so adamant about selling this out? I said, well, it's numbers. If 450 people come to your show and they all like it, they tell 5 people, well, now 2,000 people know that you did a show.
Yes.
It started, so I started out as a headliner. When I was doing restaurants, they were actually hiring me and selling the tickets based on me performing there. So I always, from the start, never went in front of a crowd that didn't know who I was or didn't know what to expect. So my crowds are so electric. I've been spoiled. You know, I've done a couple open mics where I'll jump into a comedy club and then say, hey, listen, these people are not off the boat Italian fans, but I'm going to make them laugh anyway. And I just switch up my material. But I've been spoiled from the beginning, man. I started out as that.
Well, you know, I was going to tell you, hold on a second. I was going to tell you a story about how we played a bar. It had chicken wire, which is like, it had little openings. So if it was a chicken there, the chicken couldn't get out.
No, I'm familiar with chicken. My father has chickens upstate.
Oh, jeez. Okay. So for Skiri, who's never been near an animal, living in Brooklyn. So the chicken wire was in front of the stage, and it was designed so that if people didn't like the show, they could throw things at the stage and you wouldn't get hit.
That is some Skiri. Boost of confidence.
Yeah. Hey, if the joke bombs, it's all right because, you know.
Yeah.
So we're doing our sketch comedy routine, whatever. We're doing improv. And the crowd is like, it's all bikers and... You know, because we pulled up and like all the bikes are parked on the side of the road.
Right.
They really weren't in there for comedy night. So they're eating dinner. We're doing our show. And, you know, all of a sudden they're throwing like French fries and they're throwing spoons. And you're like, well, and they're clanking off of the.
As you're performing?
As we're performing. We're like, hey, we need a visuals. We need a movie style. You know,
thing is, if you tell people, if I'm at a show and you say, you know, hey, this chicken wire is designed so if you guys want to throw shit, we're protected. I don't care if you're good. I'm going to start
right.
doing shit anyway.
Right. I'd like to believe we were good. But then they're throwing salt shakers where they take the top off the salt. Yeah. Sort of salt's coming through. And we're thinking, how much are we getting paid for this? The answer is not enough.
Right. No, not enough. I can't. I very rarely, if never, have a show where the people in the audience don't know who I am. And when you do that, when you have that luxury, it's so much easier because you're coming out, they're familiar with you, boom, they're ready to laugh.
Right.
But we have gone to other places when Johnny and I were touring where, you know, we went to Navi, Michigan. Now,
oh, wow. How does the Italian translate to Navi or the localism, the regionalism stuff that was making us laugh earlier in this podcast?
It translated because now you're getting just old school people in general, but I changed up my material. I didn't go heavy on the Italian stuff. You know, we were in the basement of a Greek restaurant, nice comedy club that they had, but I changed my stuff up on the fly. I'll look at the crowd. I'll hear how they're reacting to Johnny. And then when I get out there, I go, okay, you know what? I might not do this, but I'm going to do this, this, and this. You know, and I started, you know, I spoke, I always look up what people are familiar with or what's the trend. What do people know about this particular area that I'm performing in? And I'll write material based on that. So I switched it up a little, but for the most part.
And sometimes all you got to do is sub out the name because it's the same experience in a different location.
Oh, and that's one thing that has absolutely shocked me is how many people relate to my type of humor. It's not just Italians, man. It's Greeks. It's Argentinian. It's Spanish people.
Sure.
White, black.
I laughed my ass off at one of the funniest films of all time for me was My Big Fat Greek Wedding back in the day. And I'm like, that could be a Spanish family, an Italian family. That could be my family right there. Absolutely.
I did make a mistake. I'm going to be at Red's on October 8th.
Okay.
This Sunday, I'll be at Calandra's. In Caldwell, New Jersey.
Very familiar with Calandra's. Calandra's is my favorite bakery.
When I went there the first time, I realized that I was in front of the place and no one was around. Mm. And I then soon quickly found out that I was in the one in Newark.
That's a different Calandra's.
That is a different Calandra's.
That's the original Calandra's.
Yes.
There's several others. There's the Italian Village.
This one's in Caldwell.
A new way of saying that a neighborhood isn't as upscale. You know what? Oh, you were in a neighborhood that was another Calandra's.
That was the original Calandra's.
Well, you were at the original Calandra's.
Yes. The one that started it all.
Right.
Go see him at Calandra's.
And then try to swill your dells while you're there. They're incredible.
They're awesome. I can, man. I'm on a big health kick. I'm trying to lose like 35 pounds.
Have the lights swill your dell.
I'll smell it as I'm having my grilled chicken. Sometimes psychologically, it could taste like a pastry.
Have you done shows?
You're more than welcome.
All right. Oh, good.
Thank you.
I'll talk to your people.
Yeah, my people.
Have you done two shows in a night where you do a bit in the first show where you say, oh, hell no, and you just cut it from the second show where it dies?
The most I've done, so I was at Governor's in Long Island, and to capitalize on the capacity because it was so, you know, it was lowered so much. It was down to, I think, 70 people outside, 70 people inside. There's a couple months back before New York was so nice to shut everything that has to do with entertainment down. I did four shows a night.
It was so nice of them to do that.
Wow. 12 shows in 12 shows in 4 days or 3 days. Friday and Saturday, what I did was I started the show outside. And then while I got on stage, Goomba Johnny and Tara Canestraci jumped inside to start that show. So I did four shows. That was the toughest because at one point during the third show, I'm like, did I already say this shit here? Or was it at the first or second show? But listen, I don't really scratch stuff from my stand-up. Like, I write my material. I'm very meticulous. Like, I don't want you laughing. I want you throwing up. I want you to have your ribs hurting from laughing so much. So the stuff that I use, but yeah, I might say, hey, you know what? They laughed, but that's not a big enough laugh for me. So I'm not going to use that. I'm going to combine that last joke that I did that I didn't think was going to get a big laugh, and it got a huge laugh. And I'm going to start butting it up against the other ones.
Right.
Like the way I try to do it is the last four stories that I tell, I want, like, I had people in Bridgeport. One guy like spit water all over the place. Like, I want you falling over.
Nice. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
That's great.
I try to kill you with laughter.
So,
I think sometimes people confuse comedy now with clips on YouTube. right?
Yeah.
They get their comedy from segments, or they'll watch somebody. There's nothing like going to a comedy club.
No. People ask me, they say, what do you enjoy doing more? The videos are alive. I go, there's nothing like a live show. There's nothing like seeing the expressions on everyone's faces, having that guy in the front row keel over, holding his stomach. I hear people slamming on tables from the back. That's the best sound in the world, is when you're killing. Like, I try to literally kill a crowd from the start, the minute I hit stage to the minute I get off stage. And like I said, I mean, the best compliments is the reactions, you know, having people message me the next day. Hey dude, my ribs are still hurting. My cheeks are still hurting. I just called up my sister that I came to your show with, and we're still talking about stuff that you said that hit so, you know, hit on point with our family, you know? So there's nothing like a live show.
Well, see, when I write a joke or do a prank phone call or write a song parody, my instant feedback is like 2 minutes later, if a text message comes in and says, that was funny. Or you'll get someone on Twitter, oh, I listened to the show like 8 hours ago. That was good.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like performing in front of a crowd. And so there's nothing like it for you being on stage. And there's nothing like being in that audience, because you laugh more, right? Because it's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, what think about watching a comedy movie. You're watching a comedy by yourself, you'll laugh. You watch that with four or five friends.
Yeah.
You're laughing your ass off.
Punching each other.
Yeah, you feed off the laughter. But it's also, with me, it's instant confirmation. So I do a show, I hit you with that punchline or that story, boom, you laugh right away. I know it's funny. When I do videos, it's harder. Same thing with your podcast. You know, you do a podcast, you don't know how people are reacting. So I don't, like, when I post the videos, I don't know how well that video is or how funny that video is until I see how many people are sharing it, and then I read the comments. So, you know, live shows are amazing. I love it. I
mean, now, do you get the occasional drunk who heckles or calls out?
I don't get hecklers, man. I get the, when I do, like any show in Jersey that I do, I have this one fan. She's a lunatic, but she's a good lunatic. Like, I get people, like, even this weekend, I had one guy at the late show on Saturday night. Every time I had the crowd just, like, kill them with laughter, and it was like a good belly laugh. Anthony, we fucking love you. I'm like, all right, dude, I heard you six times.
But
I love you too.
You need those people, especially in times 100%. Of peril, you know, especially you need 100%. That woman to show up, because you can always play off of that and, you know, create some sparks from there. So
I'll do a show, and my manager and even Goomba Johnny, he goes, dude, you're nuts, man. He goes, you know, I stay after. I think our cap is 350. Anything over 350, the venue makes us charge for a meet and greet because they want to cut down the amount of people that wait. But up until 350, dude, I've sat and signed. I have these 8x10 pictures of me and my characters that I've created, and I personalize them and I sign them out to every single person in the audience. And I'm there sometimes 2 hours.
That's dedication, man.
Well, Johnny said something to me that really, I didn't realize it. He goes, dude, I've looked at you now for the past year doing these meet and greets, and you never look like you don't want to be there. Your face is lit up. You're engaging with your fans. And it goes back to, like, what you said, you need fans like that. But more importantly, without these fans, I can't literally do the one thing I love doing in life as a living. So what the hell is another hour and a half of meeting them and giving them something to take home and sharing, like, maybe they share a story with me or something. It's just appreciation. Now, I'll never lose that.
I know you got one foot out the door and you got to go golfing here shortly. And
I got a tee time at 1:30 and there's money on the line.
But that's fun. A little friendly match. How much money are we talking about?
No, my friend of mine kicked my ass 3 months ago, and I've been practicing.
Now,
so.
Rodea Comedy, that's your website. That's your Instagram, Twitter. You're on Snapchat with Rodea Comedy too?
No Twitter. I got rid of Twitter.
Oh, don't tell Brody that. He's a Twitter aficionado. I got rid of Twitter. Oh, he's,
look at him. He's like,
might have to end your friendship here. So
I'm going to tweet out the podcast. I'll have to put your handle and then write on Instagram.
Yeah.
Right. Great. It's great having you here. You're awesome.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk to
you.
Hey, listen, when you get to that next level, when you're at that Sebastian Maniscalco level or even beyond, or your Dane Cook win his day, don't forget the little guys. All right.
Listen, I'm planning on coming. Listen, I'm going to be on the podcast. I want to be back in studio with you guys in the morning.
With Elvis Duran.
You guys get back in. And I want to have a shot. There's a lot of things on my bucket list. I want to have a shot with Uncle Johnny. We'll do another podcast. Listen, maybe, you know, you guys can have me co-host the Brooklyn Boys. I don't know. It's just an idea.
Let's see how big you get.
He's like, let's see if you progress, because right now you're really no benefit to us.
You start doing Colbert, some Fallon. We'll talk.
Well, now, let me ask you a question. Can I share this on my Facebook?
Hells yeah.
Wait a minute, that was the deal.
You better share it on your Facebook.
Yeah, I will.
We'll see. Instagram.
You got to get up to like 3,000 views.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys usually get on Facebook with this?
This is our first video. Yeah, you're our first
video. We do an audio podcast. This is the first video.
Sweet. Oh, no, you guys, this will probably get like 80,000 views in the first week on Facebook. This will be good.
All right, good. Love it.
Good. And we'll put it up on our Instagram and
awesome. All right, sounds good, guys.
Great having you, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Take care.
Later, guys.
Brooklyn, the boys from Brooklyn. Brooklyn, the boys from Brooklyn.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
If you're committed to living a healthier life, you might want to look into working herbs into your wellness routine. There's a reason people have trusted them for thousands of years. Nature's Way understands that nature is the ultimate problem solver, and they're constantly inspired by the power of nature. For example, their ginger root and slippery elm bark have been traditionally used for digestive support, and St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support. And because Nature's Way sources from around the world and does a ton of comprehensive potency and quality testing in their state-of-the-art lab, you can be sure you're getting top-quality herbs. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.